And but anyway, they continued to do that until all the way until the van came. And then I don't know how long they stayed there, but the other people took us downtown and paraded us through the streets in chains, which is very reminiscent of how our people were paraded through the streets in chains during the enslavement period. But anyway, so we were arrested. Now, there was another house. As I said before, there were two government centers, and they went to the other house simultaneously when they were at our house, the house that I was in. The other house was the main...
Did you say two centers?
Two government centers. Well, they were houses, but we called them government centers.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. So the other one was like the headquarters, which was right near Jackson State College. And
but now you use the term headquarters. There were different.
You guys were spread
over the country. Were these the major headquarters?
This was major. This was the major.
So the Republic of New Africa was centered in out of Mississippi.
It didn't start there. Some members from the north, the citizens from the north, moved there to start building on what we were,
okay.
Trying to do. As a matter of fact, there had been land. We had tried to purchase a large amount of land, and to just, even though we realized that, you know, a government is not built on land like that that you purchase, but that was like a starting point.
So is it safe to say then that you guys were looking to, similar to the Nation of Islam, building a government inside of the government?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Yes. And that's what we call it. We don't call it an organization. We call it a government, the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa.
Okay.
Okay. So. But before the shootout, we had purchased land, but then we're in the process of purchasing land from a brother, and he was harassed so much or threatened and et cetera that he dropped the deal, and we were not able to complete that.
So purchase. Before I took you off track, you were talking about the second building.
Mm-hmm. Right. The second one, that's where Brother Imari, the president, President Brother Imari, and three other individuals were in that house. Well, they were, you know, up already, dressed and working, doing government business. And when the police and FBI got there to that spot, and so when they yelled at them on the bullhorn, well, they immediately were able to come out because they were already up and dressed, and asked them, "What's the problem? You know, what can I do for you, et cetera?" And nothing happened at that house. Absolutely nothing happened at that house. It was just a conversation, and but they were arrested and charged with everything that the seven of us in the other house was charged with.
So I have to tell you, understanding that time myself, the fact that three officers two were wounded, one was killed. It's amazing to me that you guys weren't all killed yourselves.
Exactly. You're absolutely right.
So what do you attribute that to? And especially in Mississippi.
I think it was because it was so many eyes on them at that time. But this did not just make national news, it made international news. And we were also connected or in contact with other countries that supported what we were doing. Brother Imari was pretty much a political scientist. There were several people who in the group who had done their homework and had also been involved in touch with international law, trying to get support, if you will, from the international law, because any people that's been enslaved and all that, you know, we're due certain things that our people were never offered, and never, and even when we asked for it many years ago, never got it. So we were in the process of doing those kind of things. It wasn't just a bunch of young people who decided to run off and try to get some land. It wasn't like that. They had truly done their homework. It was over 150 people who had come together back in Detroit to at a convention that pulled this whole the idea and the whole thing together, and decided on that we were a separate and independent people, not independent, but a separate people, and that we deserved a nation, anything that any other nation of people deserved. So
let's fast forward to now. You guys apprehended, the charges, mm-hmm. first degree murder. I mean, an officer is dead.
Everything you can imagine.
So how? What happened from that point? Because, you know, you just don't allow people to walk away from murdering from what they call murdering a police officer.
Absolutely.
Even to this day, you know, that's, you know,
right.
You're going to pay an ultimate price for that. So
that's
let's move forward to the charging and the time that people.
Our people, well, the four, the brothers, it was five brothers in that house. Four of them were charged with murder. All of us were charged with conspiracy, treason, you name it. We were charged with it. And I was saying that the other people were charged with everything that we were, because at first everybody was charged with everything, but as time went on and we going to the hearings and all that, you know, the people in the first house, the second house that I talked about, were a lot of, most of them, their charges were either
dropped.
Dropped, except for Imari, because their intentions was to keep him, and they put other stuff on him, but they couldn't do the murder charge on him because he was not in the house. But as time went on, we, you know, they were all, those brothers were the ones that got the major sentencing. The sister, one of the sister from the, that was in the other house in the where no shooting took place, she was the first person to be released after a couple of months. Then the sister that was in the house with me, with us, she was pregnant, and they were able to get her out based on her condition because she needed.
So you guys, very young, the criminal defense attorneys for murder are really, really expensive. And when you're talking about all of you, you had resources like that, huh?
Well, one of the persons...
And I know that there weren't a whole lot of people who were going to take that pro bono.
But they did. There was a group of lawyers, Brother Chokwe Lumumba, who later became mayor of Jackson, he was a college student at the time, a law student, but he was able to gather a group of lawyers. Well, he went to the main person, lawyer, John Britton, who put together a group of black lawyers who came to our defense immediately, and they were just brilliant. They were just brilliant, and the way they orchestrated as much as they could, you know, how things were running, you know, the things that they would use, and in the courts, it was just masterful.
So I would think that many of these attorneys came from different parts of the nation.
Nope.
No, they were all in Mississippi.
Yes, right. They were all young black lawyers, several of them, and. What they did with the strategy that they used to keep my husband and the other three brothers from getting the death penalty, because that was definitely on the table. The way they did that, they orchestrated, well, in selecting the jury, they knew that they were not going to get a conviction, that the brothers were going to be convicted. That was no question. But trying to save their lives is what they were after. And they did that through the selection of jurors.
So let me do this. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. My guest is Tamu Kanyama, and she is the author of 1148 Lewis Street, A Long Journey. We'll be right back.